April 10th, 1974, was hot. India hot. Our Jeep wove through the overgrown jungle, bounced over the undulating washboard road, and halted in front of the Tatanagar railway station. Slanted rays of the afternoon sun reflected off the station's fading whitewashed walls, a stoic reminder of the British ambition to link every corner of colonial India by rail. The Indian-made Jeep, marked with the official blue and white seal of the United Nations, quickly attracted a crowd. Outstretched arms grabbed at us through the open windows. Thin limbs and tired bodies pressed closer, rocking the vehicle. Zafar Hussain, the paramedical assistant assigned to me by the government of India, gently asked the crowd to move back in Hindi, and then in a language I did not understand. When space cleared, he carefully and respectfully opened his door. I followed. My foot had barely touched the ground when I heard a wail. "Dr. Sahib! Dr. Sahib! Saita! Saita! Doctor! Doctor! Help! Help!" A gaunt young mother in a bright red sari carrying a little boy jumped up from a squat, broke through the crowd, and stumbled straight for me. Twigs from the neem tree, a traditional, though futile, treatment for smallpox, fell from her lap. "Doctor, UN doctor, please, I beg you, help me. My baby is very sick." Her boy was 4 or 5 years old. The woman held him out to me, motioning for me to take him. When I hesitated, she pushed the child into my arms like an offering in a temple, her eyes pleading, never leaving mine. The boy's black hair was matted with sweat and mud, his eyes lined with kohl, the black substance Indians often use on children to protect their sight from the harsh sun. But his eyes were fixed wide open and opaque. His arms and legs dangled limp from his body. His face was streaked with blood. I held him and looked closer. He was emaciated, covered with pox. Smallpox's telltale buckshot pattern, deep red pustules a quarter inch round everywhere, looked like angry little volcanoes ready to erupt. The lesions on his hands and feet had coalesced into an almost continuous graph. I could barely identify individual pox. The boy had no healthy skin left on his arms and legs, no space to fit even a fingertip between his sores. Zafar and I looked at each other. We knew. We sighed. The boy was not sick. He was dead. Gone moments before our arrival. One more casualty of variola major, one of nearly 200,000 sickened or killed during the Indian smallpox epidemic of 1974. Most were children. His death must have been agonizing. The disease had transformed his lifeless hands into bloody pieces of meat and had taken his sight before it had taken his life. I looked down at the boy's still body, which seemed so slight, so light, so soft. It was hardly there, as if his soul had fled the torment of the disease, risen up from what the Indians called his Atman, or personal soul, to merge with Brahma, the great soul, the eternal soul that we all share, the oneness of God. I had arrived too late, but even had we arrived while he was still alive, there would have been nothing any doctor could have done. There is no cure for smallpox. That was why the epidemic had to be stopped from spreading, why it had to be prevented before it could kill other little boys and girls. That was why we only had a single goal: eradication. For many rural or traditional Indians in the 1970s, smallpox was not a disease in the way we understand such illnesses, an infection caused by a virus or bacteria. An Indian child in some villages might be thought to be visited by a goddess, the pockmarks a sign left behind by Shitala Ma, the cooling mother, both protector and destroyer. Her annual visit, commonly occurring each spring, was both a blessing and a curse. She was personified as a fierce and wild-looking goddess, a bit like Kali the Destroyer, astride a wild donkey, carrying a winnowing fan and whip or scourge. It was the tip of her whip that caused the painful welts of smallpox. Shitala Ma determined life and death according to some mystifying calculus. But I knew that a virus, not a goddess, had killed this boy. he was killed by the same ancient disease that had felled billions of men and women, boys and girls, a plague that for 10,000 years or more had slain peasants and princes, damsels and doctors, kings and queens, emperors and dictators.